This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 28th, 2015, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Do not fear, only believe. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Two very familiar miracle stories. Unfortunately, when we read the miracle stories in the gospel readings, I think a lot of us have a tendency, and just can't help it, it's, oh, okay, the miracle stories, yeah, it's great, Jesus, very churchy, very Sunday at church kind of stuff, we'll hear all these, you know, miracles that Jesus did, all well and good, in one ear, out the other. There is so much more to it than just churchy stories, these two examples. What I want to do today, I don't want to parse either one of these, because you can parse them down to where you could preach for months and months and months on all kind of nuances of each one of them. I want to get basically sort of movie-esque today and sort of broad scheme, sort of panoramic, focus in, then back out again, and talk more about the things that may elude us when we hear these miracle stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have two examples of miracles today. A woman who has a medical condition and a young girl who dies. These are two examples that reflect conditions that each and every one of us either will have or confront in this life. We can't help it. Okay? We can lose sight of, well, I'm not a woman. I don't have that kind of a problem. So I don't ever have to worry about that. But yes, you do. Okay? You do have to worry about it. The dead child, again, hopelessness. We all reach that sometime. I'll get into that in a second. But we can apply these. You fill in the blank for yourself. Because basically what the problems are, again, they are reflective of conditions that you will endure. All right? You always try to fill in the blank with something physical. How about this one? Spiritually speaking, you are affected currently, because we all are, by the conditions, particularly the woman with the hemorrhage. Spiritually speaking, we hear about sin. I've never robbed a bank. I've never killed anyone. Well, that's debatable when you get down to what Jesus said. That's a different subject for a different day. What we're talking about when we're talking about sin that's already spiritual hemorrhage, so to speak, are the first and foremost, venial stuff. Venial stuff that continuously drags us down, continuously keeps us distance from our Lord. Because what is sin? Sin is any lack of conformity to or violation of the revealed will of God. And again, let's not get all high-end about it. I never robbed the bank. I didn't kill anybody. And think about gossiping. Think about being impatient with other people. Think about being uncharitable toward other people. We do that kind of stuff all the time. That is what I mean by a spiritual hemorrhage. Something that continually goes on in our life over which we have, we do have control over it, but we just don't wish to. I always love that one. I can't do that. The can't doesn't even apply to it. It's you won't do things. Can't just means the won't is really hard. So it's not a matter of I can't, it's a matter of I won't. Okay? But that being said, let's look at these two different scenarios, these miracle scenarios. Apply them to yourself. Yeah, the woman who's got this medical problem, you know, what's the bottom line on her deal? Is that she has done all things humanly possible to alleviate her problem. And guess what? Nothing has worked. Not only has it not worked, her problem is getting worse. All right? You will again, particularly in a spiritual sense, you are, you find yourself in that condition on it. If you don't take the reins, if you embrace that, what I said before about this I can't stuff, you'll find yourself in a condition like this, where everything seems hopeless. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with me. It's got about, you know, we live in a victim mentality society. It's everybody else's fault, you know, even up to God. Well, if God had made me this way, or God would do this for me, okay, take some responsibility. We will find ourselves in a position in life in which we find that we have no control. This thought that you have control over the aspects of your life is really somewhat of a mirage. And he will let you know in short order that you do not control things. All right? You could have billions of dollars. And guess what? Toward the end of your life, when you're sick and dying, you are dying just the same way as a person who's indigent. There is no difference between you and you cannot buy your way out of that situation. All right? You will find a time in your life when you are hopeless. Some of you have seen it already. All right? And some of you have appreciated it and learned from it. We are all going to face it, whether it be spiritually and even in the temporal circumstances, we will be confronted with the fact that we are not in control of everything. That's the message here. This woman was not in control of her condition. All right? The young girl who dies, everybody knows, oh yeah, we know we're all going to die, blah, 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 go on. All right? Fine. We do all know we're going to die. Basically, what he's talking about is a hopeless situation. Again, hopelessness being something that, from a human perspective, has a period at the end of it. It's over and done when this happens. Again, death. There's one other person. We can kind of fall into this deal where we have the sick woman and the dying young girl, kind of leave it at that. There's another character here that really begs pause to consider. That's the father of this young girl who's dying. You know, this whole hopeless thing. I, in my secular life before I became a priest, and in my priesthood, I have been confronted with a tremendous amount of very, very horrible things in life. I can deal with most of them. I can deal with all, I have been able to deal with all of them. But dealing with one thing in particular always crushes me emotionally, and that's dealing with people who are going to or have lost a child. I cannot look at them and say, I know how you feel. I cannot empathize. You know what's really sad about it? I'm very, very selfish when it comes to that, because not only can I not empathize with them, I am glad that I cannot. I am glad that I cannot look at a person who lost a child and say, I know how you feel, because I don't want to know how that. That is so tremendously horrible, I can't even fathom it. I don't want to. I don't want to empathize with them. That's this father. His little girl is dying. And what is he going to do? He goes to Jesus Christ. Who is this guy? He's the leader of a synagogue. Why didn't he just run to the synagogue and have his Jewish leader friends pray for his daughter? You know what? This is conjecture. But he probably has. To what avail? None. He goes to Jesus. How did the Jewish leadership look at Jesus at that particular time? He was not a popular figure. They've already started kind of fomenting this whole idea of getting rid of him. They don't like what he teaches. They don't like what he does. And they want to get rid of him. And this leader of the synagogue goes to our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus is more than willing in his love for these folks to fulfill their desires. He heals the woman. Focus again on some of the things that might elude us occasionally. I like this part, and I quote, this woman does this stuff because she had heard reports of Jesus. It didn't say she walked around and saw him do other miracles and said, hey, I could probably benefit from that too. No, she had just heard reports of Jesus Christ, and she had enough faith to not just believe like, well, maybe. She knew in her heart, if I just touch even his garments, I shall be made well. This is something, again, should give us pause. She had heard the reports of Jesus. We, every single time we get together for Mass, Yeah. We hear the reports of Jesus. The reports of Jesus that we hear from the readings. The reports of Jesus Christ that we hear in the homily. The reports of Jesus Christ that we see in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. We have heard the reports of Jesus. Do you believe the reports that you hear, like this woman did? How did she act on that belief? She went and she understood that if she could even touch something that was close to him, that she would be healed. She believed that much. Again, I said we should take pause and think about ourselves individually, because if we look around us, it is quite obvious that people that gather together in any given parish, in any given Catholic church on Sundays, they do not believe the reports of Jesus Christ. Pinnacle example, the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. If people truly believed that bread and wine no longer exist, that in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, as our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, that it is his body, blood, soul, and divinity. If you even have a shred of belief in that, you would not see what you see in churches today. You would not see people dressed the way they are when they come. You would not see people coming in late. You would not see people leaving early. You would not see them coming up here and receiving him like it was so much a Ritz cracker, putting him in their hands, fondling with him, as opposed to just receiving them into themselves. They don't believe the reports of Jesus Christ. We have to believe the reports because that fosters within us the faith that this lady had. If even I touch his garments, I shall be made whole. Little footnote there. That's also why the Catholic Church believes in the category of sacramentals. Holy water, holy oil, blessed salt. What's all that about, holy water? This is where we get that concept. Even if something is close to Jesus Christ, if you have enough faith, if you believe the reports, then it is efficacious for it to do what he says it does. It fulfills and effects the mysteries of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get these kind of things. Think about it. If I just touch the hem of his garment, something that he wore. And what was the hem? That was the part that drug on the ground, dirtiest part of his garment. If I just touch the dirtiest part of the garment that he's wearing, he is so almighty that I will be healed. That's faith. That's the faith that each and every one of us should have. So we have the raising of the young girl. And again, I'm not going to harp on this hopelessness of a father whose little girl is dying. He is feeling absolutely hopeless. Tell me this is a hammer blow. He's absolutely hopeless. He goes to Jesus Christ, says, if you come and you just lay your hands on my daughter, she will be made well and live. And Jesus, okay, he's going to go with him. A spark of hope. That's a little hope. Jesus is going to go touch her. She's going to be made well. What happens? Somebody from his house comes up and says, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the master any further? What does our Lord Jesus Christ say to that? Do not fear, only believe. Okay? This is the kind of belief of which I speak. A true belief. A belief that where in your heart you know it's going to happen. That is a true belief. Jesus looks at, interesting response, you know, do not fear, only believe. And then he goes over to the house, and people are all making over the dead child. Jesus says, the child is not dead, but sleeping. Why does he say that? Why does he say that? Does he not know she's dead? He's God, he should know she's dead. She's dead, all right? What he's trying to do is communicate God's perspective on things, human perspectives on things. A human perspective on death is what? Period. Dead. That's why we're afraid of it. Because we don't have the belief that our Lord desires of us. You know, I've heard so many times in debates with people, oh, church stuff's ridiculous. You die, you're just worm dirt. Okay, whatever. Guess what? If you're right, I got no problems. If I'm right, you got serious problems. All right? That's our faith. Okay? So Jesus Christ is showing us this difference between a human perspective of death and God's perspective. in man's eyes, she was dead. Her body's dead. But God's perspective of that is that her soul is alive and subject to his power and awaiting the resurrection. Her soul is, to use a euphemism, asleep. He's just showing us the two different perspectives. He does it with Lazarus also. He actually kind of flip-flops it with Lazarus. Lazarus is sick. Jesus says, we need to go to see Lazarus because he's asleep. The apostles say, hey, he's asleep. That's cool. Yeah? That means he's going to get better. Jesus looked at them and he's dead. Okay? Human perspective, God's perspective. And he goes in and he speaks and he raises this child from the dead. Notice he does not pray for her to be raised. He says, oh, Heavenly Father, please raise this child. He does not have to because he is God. And he just walks in and says, child, arise. And guess what? She gets up. And he says, give her something to eat. Kind of anticlimactic, isn't it? I mean, someone who was just raised from the dead, give her something to eat. What's that all about? Give her something to eat. What is eating proved? What is eating for? Eating is for people to strengthen themselves who are alive in this world. Jesus walks in there and says, child, arise, and this child gets up and walks around in some kind of glorified, shining body and never needs food anymore. And everything. Guess what? That is not resurrection from a human perspective. Okay? That's a reanimation of a body in some kind of real spiritual way out there, ethereal way. Jesus Christ raised this child from the dead. He made her alive again in this world. Give her something to eat. When he raises Lazarus from the dead, same thing, the next scene, what is it? Having a banquet with Lazarus. Everybody kind of hanging around gawking. Guy was dead for 4 days in a tomb. Thought he was rotten, literally. Thought he stunk. And now what's he doing? Sitting around eating with everybody. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he's resurrected from the dead, shows up with his apostles, and they are terrified. Ah, ghost! You know, spirit! What does Jesus say to them? Got anything to eat? What does he do? He eats. Because eating is for people who are alive. And that's the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is alive. In the same body in which he walked and talked. Not a phantasm, not a ghost, not a spirit being. He's alive. Just like the little girl, just like Lazarus. Our Lord has the power to do these things. That's what he wants us to appreciate. That's the reason for the stories. Believe. That's the common thread. Believe. The woman believed that if she touched his garment, she would be made whole. The man who came to him believed that Jesus could raise his child from the dead. Because it's got to work hand in hand, our belief, with what God does. The quintessential Protestant heresy. Faith alone, wrong, nowhere in the scriptures. The only time faith and alone is used in the same sentence, faith is not alone, we're going to wave that banner, okay? No, it's faith and God's almighty power. They work hand in hand. God requires faith in his almighty power, or he will not work. He will not work. Next week's reading, I actually have he goes into a town, his own hometown, and it actually says in the scriptures he could not do miracles there because they didn't have any belief. That did not mean he could not because he lacked the power to do so. He could not because they didn't have any faith, and that's the way he works. You have free will to either embrace a belief in his power or not. And you have to decide what side. We love our free will when we can do whatever we want here. I have free will to do this. I have free will to do that. I have free will to believe that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You also have free will to submit to the precepts and commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ for your own personal salvation. Okay? You also have free will to do that. Okay? So you can't have one side and not the other. Why doesn't God have everybody go to heaven? Because you have free will. The offer to go to heaven is for absolutely everyone. You have to embrace the offer. That's the message. Because without faith, he will not work. And he can work. All you need to do is submit to it. He will work. He can accomplish the effects of his mysteries. He does it here with us now. He does it at the Eucharist. He does it in the confession. If you have belief, when you go in the confession, when you hear, I absolve you from all of your sins, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you should believe with all your heart that you were as clean as the day you were baptized. If there's any inkling that you are not, you don't have the belief that is required. If you do not believe that God is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, you will act accordingly or not act accordingly when you come up. You have to believe. You're manifesting your belief in these things by what you do and how you act here and now. As I said when we started this, you have to appreciate the fact that these temporal things, sickness, death, and all these things, we're going to be confronted with them, but we are confronted with our spiritual conditioning of being dead in trespasses and sins, and your Lord Jesus Christ, out of love for you, has freely offered to take you out of that. He can remove you from darkness of death into light, the darkness of sin into the light of his everlasting presence, starting here and now, not after you die. It's interesting. Jesus Christ performs three resurrections. Three in the scriptures. And these three resurrections, they show different states of sinners because we are all dead in trespasses and sin. The three resurrections, interesting to look at. One person has just died, this little girl. Another person has been dead for a little while and being carried to his grave. And then there is one who is dead and buried and has been buried for a while. All three show different states of the sinner. Some of us fall into sin, whether it be venial or mortal. Fix it. Do it immediately. Again, unfortunately, you don't hear enough about sin in church. Well, I don't have any mortal sin. I have never broken the Big Ten. Yes, you have. Again, different story for a different day. But guess what? There are some things you never, well, you ought to hear, but you never hear. Mortal sin is anything that separates you from the grace of God. Things that are mortal sins that a lot of people don't embrace and don't appreciate. How about this one? Not coming to Mass on your obligation on Sunday or Saturday evening at the vigil. All right, that is a mortal sin. Separates you from the grace of Christ. Contracepting, mortal sin, separates you from the grace of Jesus Christ. Receiving unworthily, when you are not in a state when you should receive Jesus, mortal sin, separates you from the grace of Jesus Christ. Going to heaven is a big question mark for you. If you're doing any of that stuff, fix it. Our Lord Jesus Christ makes the offer. Okay, if it just happened, fix it soon. You can be, I've been involved in this for a little while, or maybe even a long while. He can fix it. The young man who was being carried to his burial. I've done this all my life. I've never gone to church. I've lived this way. I've done this, that, and the other. Guess what? He can fix it. You just got to believe. That's the bottom line. Lazarus, dead in the tomb, stinking. Person that's been involved in sin maybe their entire life. Gross, mortal sin. He can fix it easily. Just got to touch the hem of his garment, the dirty hem of his garment. Just get that close and he will fix it. You're not going to be perfect. You're not going to have a perfect faith. But guess what? You can start somewhere. Start here and now. Start here and now and understand the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love that he has of us. And by showing us these miracles, he has proven to us in this world, in time and space, that he can accomplish the eternal effects of the mysteries that he promises us. We have to appreciate this. And the appreciation is the last words that he shares in the gospel. And we want to hear this from him. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.